seated. And turn with me, if you will, to the New Testament book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. We are reading today from the New King James Version, and our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 703 of your pew Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Pray with me this morning as we examine this text with this thought in mind. Living as people of hope. Living as people of hope. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, amen. In Luke chapter 17, the Bible tells the story of Jesus healing 10 lepers by simply speaking the word. Lepers were not allowed to come near other people. They had to stay far away from others because their disease was communicable. So they lived in shadows. They were outcasts. Now, one of the 10, when he realized that he had been cleansed of a dreaded disease and given a new lease on life, ran back to Jesus with praise and thanksgiving. And Jesus asked a simple question: where are the other 9? He healed 10 people of disease that had made them outcasts, but only one turned around to give thanks to the one who had healed him. Peter reminds those of us in the Church of Jesus Christ that we have all been given a new life to live. We have been cleansed of a dreaded, deadly disease called sin. So we have been called out of the darkness into God's marvelous light. And since God has called us from darkness to light, we ought to praise him for the special life that he has given us to live. God has called us to walk the Christian walk and to live the Christian life as a testimony to his grace and to his goodness. We have been given a new life in order to praise God. But what does that new life look like? And how do we know if we're living the life that God is pleased with? And what are the particulars of the Christian life that we ought to give praise for? Well, the answer's in the text. So let's turn to the text so we can learn how to live this Christian life in a way that's pleasing to God. Looking at the text again in verse 9, Peter says, "But you are a chosen generation, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We ought to praise God because we have been personally selected for the Christian life. Peter's declaration to the church that you are a chosen generation falls in line with what Jesus said when he walked the earth. In John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. If you have been saved by the blood of Christ, it only happened because at some point in your life, God called you to Jesus. God offered, you accepted. It was not your idea to start with. In fact, a lot of us ran from God until we found out that there was no hiding place. But God had already determined that he was going to bring us into his fold. That was already his purpose. That's called grace, and that's why it's called so amazing. God prepared for our salvation before we got here. Before we thought about God, God thought about us. We didn't find God. God found us. And the Bible tells that it was all God's doing from the very beginning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You are saved because God called you out of darkness into his light. You are saved because God made a place for you in heaven even before you walked the earth. You are saved not by any good deeds that you have done. You were saved so that you could do good deeds that God had seen in the future. God in his foreknowledge has set us on the path for our salvation to take place. He even set the circumstances. Even all of the circumstances of our life are prepared to bring us to where God wants us to be. And I know that's true because the Bible says it. In one of my favorite passages in Scripture, we find these words about God's care for his children. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." Now, predestination is a difficult concept to get our minds around, but it simply means that God knows how he plans to use us in this life, and he lays things out before we are born in order to accomplish his purpose. God confirmed this very thing to Jeremiah at the very start of his ministry. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, God said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nation." God said, "Don't worry about what's going to happen to you, Jeremiah. I had the details worked out before you even got here." The fact that we have been personally selected by God should give us comfort and courage as we go out to face this hostile world. This world may be full of trouble for us, but that trouble should not stop us from doing God's will, because we know that God has a plan. And the passage from Romans 8 that concludes with these words in verse 8:31. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? What does it matter who is against you if you know that God has a plan for your life? What does it matter who is against you if you know that you have been personally selected to carry out the plan of God?" We ought to praise God because we have been personally selected for the Christian life. We have a reason to praise God because he chose us to do his work. But we should have even greater praise when we see the work that God had chosen us to do. Look again at verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." We ought to praise God for the Christian life because we have been given a privileged access to the throne of God. A privileged access to the throne of God. Peter said, "You are a royal priesthood." God has given all Christians the privilege of being his priest in this age. In the Old Testament, only the descendants of Aaron were allowed to be priests. If you had a problem that you needed to bring before God, you had to find a priest to petition God for you. Being a priest was an esteemed position. People loved priests because the priests spoke to God on their behalf. But even the priests could not come before God anytime they felt like it. In the book of Leviticus, two of Aaron's sons died because they failed to observe God's procedure for the temple. In Leviticus chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, God explains to Moses what the problem was. It says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat.'" God went on to explain in this passage the procedure that priests should observe. Only the high priest could come into the inner sanctuary, which was called the most holy place or the holy of holies. And the high priest could come only once a year and offer a sacrifice first for himself and then for the nation. Only after the high priest had made that cleansing sacrifice could the lower priest offer the sacrifice for the sins of the people throughout the year. And the Jewish people celebrate that once a year event even today. It's called Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. That Day of Atonement was when God allowed the high priest to come before him and offer a sacrifice to the people. But believers in the New Testament have a great advantage. Not only are we all priests, but our high priest is already in the Holy of Holies. Our high priest has already made an atonement for our sins once and for all. That means we can come before God as priests on our own behalf and at any time. Our high priest has already done his work. Look at what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." We should come boldly, the Bible said, because Jesus is there to plead our case. Jesus made it clear that he would be our high priest as he spoke to his disciples in an upper room on the night before he was crucified. In John 14, 13, Jesus says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Peter tells us that we're part of a royal priesthood. We have the privilege of coming to the throne of God and making our case before God in person, at any time. Another part of being part of that royal priesthood is that we have the privilege of praying for others. And that means that we should maintain our Christian walk so that others will seek us out to act as priests on their behalf before God. People who don't know God will come to you and ask you to go to God for them. You're a priest in this age, so you need to act like one. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:13, he says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how should it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." If your walk is unworthy, then you are as worthless as stale salt. But if your walk follows Jesus, then it will shine like light in the darkness, and others will see a path to God through you. God has selected us to be his royal priesthood. We should walk as servants of the King. We ought to praise God for the Christian life because we've been given a privileged access to the throne of God. But there's more that Peter wants us to know about the position for which God has chosen us. Look at verse 9 again. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." We ought to praise God for the Christian life because we have become citizens of the kingdom of God. Citizens of the kingdom of God. God is building a holy nation to inhabit his kingdom. And God has called us to become part of his kingdom building process. No matter what you were before you became a Christian, you are now a citizen of God's kingdom. God is building his kingdom here on earth. And the kingdom of God is any place where the will of God is being done. The kingdom of God is any place where the will of God is being done. So if you are a child of God, then the kingdom of God exists in your heart. If you are a child of God, then you are in the kingdom, and the kingdom is in you. God has called you to be part of his holy kingdom building plan. Look at what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. If God is using you to build his kingdom, you should not let the cares of this world distract you. You should not let the cares of this world stop you. You should not let the cares of this world slow you down and take you off of God's path. For example, when God wanted to rebuild Jerusalem after they had returned from captivity in Babylon, he sent Nehemiah to head up the work. Nehemiah came and encouraged the people, and the rebuilding work was going just great. It was going so great, in fact, that the enemies of Israel came to Nehemiah and said, come on down and talk to us for a while. We need to have a meeting about all this building you're doing. We're not sure if we like what's going on. But listen how Nehemiah answered him in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors and the gates, that Sanballat Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messages to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? But they sent me this message four times, and I answered them in the same manner. Nehemiah says, I don't have time to sit down and chit-chat with you. I'm doing God's work. Why should I set aside the great work that I'm doing for the Lord to explain myself to you? I like what Nehemiah said. He said, God got me too busy to stop and to do the things that you want me to do. You're just trying to delay the work. It's all too easy to get distracted when you start doing God's work. And God starts using you, the devil will send out distractions your way. Doing other things will start to look attractive. Staying where you are will seem easier than going where God wants you to go. Doing what you've always done will seem simpler than stepping out on the word of God and trying something new. But you need to adopt the same attitude that Nehemiah had. When your old sinful habits, or even some new habits, beckon for you to come and spend some time with them, your answer should be, I'm doing a great work for the Lord. I don't have time to spend with you. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God, and your walk should reflect that. God is building a holy nation. You need to stay on the job for the Lord. We ought to praise God for the Christian life because we have become citizens of the kingdom of God. But the best part about what Peter wanted to tell us in this verse is yet to come. Not only are we part of the special crowd that God allows us to join, part of his kingdom nation, but we have a special place with God himself. Look at verse 9 again. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. We ought to praise God for the Christian life because we have a special position in the heart of God. We have a special place in the heart of God. God has called us to a special place so that he could do a special work in us and through us. Ancient Israel thought that God chose them because they were special. But the truth of the matter is that they became special because God chose them. They were made special by the sovereign act of God in choosing them. And actually, God did not choose the nation Israel. God took one man, Abraham, and created the nation Israel. God does not select special people to do his work. God selects people to do his work, and then they become special because God has chosen them. And there's a lot of racial, religious, ethnic, and national pride going on in the world today that has nothing to do with God and nothing to do with God's preferences. There are a lot of people who are convinced that God has to be on their side because their cause is so right in their eyes. And that attitude exists in America and all throughout the world. Everyone is certain that God is on their side. But God tells us that he's not on anyone's side. God says, you have to get on my side or else you're on the wrong side. And there's just one way to get on God's side. And that way is in Jesus. Listen to Paul in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. He said, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. God is not on anyone's side. But once we come over to God's side, he gives us special treatment as his chosen people. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Once we come over to God's side, we have a home with God, and God makes his home with us. And if God has made his home in your heart, you shouldn't have any trouble praising his name. We have been given a special position in God's heart so that we'll have every reason to praise his holy name. So now we return to the question with which we began. What does it mean to be called to the Christian life? Being called to the Christian life means that we have been chosen by God. Being called to the Christian life means that we are part of a royal priesthood. Being called to the Christian life, that means we are part of a holy nation. Being called to the Christian life means that we have a special place in the heart of God. Being called to the Christian life means that we have been called out of the darkness into the light. Being called to Christian life means that we should praise God every time we get the chance. We need to praise God because he has called us to live as people of hope. We need to praise God because he has given us a living hope. We need to praise God because he has given us an everlasting hope. We need to praise God because he has given us life in his Son, a home in his kingdom, and a future for all eternity. When we look at all the Lord has provided for us, none of us should have any trouble praising God. I don't know about you, but I don't have trouble praising God. When I wake up in the morning and I'm able to open my eyes on another day, I say, praise the Lord. When I wake up in the morning and I'm able to move my limbs, I say, praise the Lord. When I wake up in the morning and I'm able to stand upright, I say, praise the Lord. When I wake up in the morning and I'm able to gather at the table with my loved ones, I say, praise the Lord. When I wake up in the morning with clothes to put on my back, I say, praise the Lord. When I wake up in the morning with just a portion of health and strength, I say, praise the Lord. When I wake up any morning and every morning, I say, praise the Lord for another day. I wake up praising the Lord, and I don't stop praising him. I praise him in the morning, and I praise him at noontime. I praise him in the evening, and I praise him at bedtime, anytime is a good time to praise the Lord. The Lord has called me out of darkness into his marvelous light, and I'm going to praise him for the rest of my days. What about you? What about you? As the congregation stands, as the choir comes to sing for us, we need to prepare our hearts to continue in praise for the Lord. There's always something that you can continue to praise the Lord for. There may be something that's trying to block your path, as Nehemiah's enemies were. You just need to bring him before the Lord. The Lord doesn't want you to stop to go to the left or the right. He wants you to continue on the path that he's brought you on. Bring all those things before the Lord in your heart through prayer. been to church already, but your hope doesn't feel as strong as it once did, you can get that strength back. Come before the Lord and just open up, and the Lord will renew that hope, renew that strength, renew that faith, renew your walk so you can walk as a Christian should walk. Walking as people filled with hope. As the choir continues to sing, come to the altar of God now, all who desire prayer. The doors of God's church are open for prayer. Father and our God in heaven, our Father and our God, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Lord, we know that you sit high, but you look low. And we just ask you, Lord, to look down upon us and have mercy upon us. Forgive us of our sins and our trespasses. Wash us, Lord, and cleanse us, and allow us to go on in your name. Lord, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your goodness. For your watchful care over us from our earliest existence up until this present moment. And Lord, we ask that you would look into our families. Touch those, Lord, who need a touch of love, who need a touch of understanding, who need a touch of wisdom. We pray especially, Lord, for those who don't know you in the pardon of their sins. Let them know, Lord, that it's time right now to get in a hurry before it's everlasting too late. And Lord, we pray that you will use us as instruments of your grace, your mercy, and your goodness. Let our walk be such, Lord, that they will be able to see you living and working in us. Lord, we thank you for where you brought us. We thank you for how you've kept us. We thank you, Lord, for how you keep picking us up when we fall down. And Lord, we thank you for what you're about to do with us. Lord, draw us so close that one cannot fall for the other. Draw us, Lord, and teach us your word through your Sunday school and through the gospel message, Lord, at this place and in our various homes. Lord, let your word stay with us to be able to guide us and lead us and to strengthen us as your people. Lord, we pray for those who are sick among us, who need a touch of healing in their bodies. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will bless our young people. Touch them, Lord, and give them the guidance that they need to go out in this cold and evil and dangerous world. And let us be examples, Lord, through the life that we live and the example that we give. We thank you, Lord, for vessels of honor to allow us a place here to worship you in spirit and in truth. Bless them, Lord, with the work you have given them to do. And Lord, we continue to praise you and to thank you. But we don't have enough time to thank you for all that you've done. So we just gather together and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. If all hearts and minds are clear, get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church. Get right, church. Get right, church, and let's go home. I'm going home on the morning train. I'm going home on the morning train. I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home on the morning train. There's another verse that says, back up train and get your load. Back up train and get your load. Back up train. Back up train. Back up train and get your load. Home on the morning train. I'm going home on the morning train. I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home on the morning train. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Let's all say together, Amen. Go in peace. Go with God. Praise God. Praise God.